This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Stefan Schindler has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend. And he takes that chance!
Done and dusted, let's certainly hope not. It's the warm-up episode 144. It's your host, Brady Frost, and I'm joined by the Championship Chats, Elliot Jackson. Elliot, how are you doing?
Hi, Brady. Good, thank you. How are you? Nervous, I'd imagine.
Yeah, nervous. But, you know, hopefully you're not as nervous as me previewing this one. This is probably a very exciting game for you, covering the Championship.
Yeah, I've got no nerves. It's nice to... I'm going to just be prodding you, trying to wind you up probably for the next 45 minutes or so, but now it's going to be a good game, isn't it? Like it's exciting for a neutral and absolute. It's the sort of game that you absolutely hate being involved in, but love watching from beyond, like the playoffs, for example.
Exactly. Let's see if I have a boiled noggin by the end of this. Anyway, if you are winding me up, but as the kids say, this game is a mid-off. Huddersfield are one of the teams in the bottom three, taking on a team just outside the bottom three, as you mentioned there, Elliot. Quite simply, if Town lose, they will be relegated on Saturday. And here are all the permutations. Stephen Chicken pointed out, so thanks, Steve. If Town and Birmingham draw and Sheffield Wednesday win at home to West Brom, Town will be relegated effectively. If Plymouth lose on Saturday, given their superior goal difference, this game ends in a draw and Wednesday don't win, it would go to the final day for all three teams, and maybe Blackburn, Plymouth are involved there too, but Town would need to beat Ipswich and hope for favours in the other last day results to stay up. So basically, Town need to win this game, and if Town win, it's still going to go to the final game. And Birmingham themselves, they drew last time out against Rotherham. Steve Evans, the new Rotherham boss, or returning Rotherham boss, I should say, did us a favour. And the Blues, they've won just twice in the last 10 matches. And in their last 10 away from home, they've won once, drawn twice and lost seven, which gives them the second worst away record in the division during that time, with Rotherham having the worst, surprising. Yeah, Elliot, if Town are going to take it to Leicester, they need a win here. What do you make of it? Do you think they've got a good chance? Because as I kind of mentioned, Birmingham don't have the best away record.
I think it's simplified for Huddersfield in the fact they've just got to win. Birmingham, there are arguments potentially on the merits of just don't lose. But again, having not beat Rotherham United last weekend, I think both teams need to go and win, to be honest, because of Wednesday winning at Blackburn on Sunday, which obviously was a game I was at, which was really interesting in the battle for the bottom. Rovers are not out of this either. Obviously, people will know I cover Blackburn Rovers for my job. So I've got two horses in this race as well. And then definitely not out of it as well. The goal difference helped them in terms of Wednesday and Huddersfield. But Birmingham are minus 16, Blackburn are minus 16, Stoke are minus 16 and QPR are minus 16. So it could get really interesting in that. For Huddersfield, it's really simple. They've got to win, haven't they? And I think we were talking just before we hit record as well that Swansea felt quite winnable as well. And I think that was a fair assumption, albeit they've been in good form in the last couple. I think that win at the weekend makes it three in a row for them. And they have got a habit, Swansea, of going on winning runs when the pressure is off and the season's kind of done and dusted. They did it a couple of seasons in a row under Russell Martin as well. To lose in the manner... You know, it's not just the result, but to get beat 4-0 at home in the manner of those goals in the second half, is a real concern and a real worry for Huddersfield. So they're going to have to galvanise themselves. They're going to have to get the fans behind them. They know it's a must-win game. You know, a draw for Huddersfield, and I think they're down. I think they've got to win this game, which is not exactly a sweeping statement, is it really, to be honest? And ultimately, they have got the chance to get them out of jail. Stranger things have happened. You know, even if they win at the weekend, they're going to need to get something at Ipswich or hope for some real favours elsewhere. But this is the Championship. You know, one would have thought Plymouth would have beat Leicester a couple of weeks ago, or Blackburn would have won at Leeds United. So whilst the odds are very much stacked against Huddersfield, and we saw Birmingham not go and win at bottom club Rotherham last weekend, you just never know. So they've got to do their job. They've got to get over the first hurdle, which is beat Birmingham City on Saturday.
Yeah, and I suppose if you look at the two teams, there is a lot of similarities. Obviously, new American owners and things maybe not quite working out as they expect. I mean, you know, for listeners, I appreciate you follow Birmingham every week, but what it seems to have gone quite wrong for them, because they're very ambitious at the start. You know, obviously, I know Tom Brady's part of the ownership there, maybe more a face than actually running things. But yeah, it seems to have been a bit of an interesting season for them.
Yeah, it's really weird. Obviously, John used to start the season, who he's obviously now head coach at Blackburn Rovers. And they obviously made the terrible decision to let him go when they were sixth in the table, brought in Wayne Rooney. That was an absolute disaster and left them just outside the relegation zone after a terrible run. I think he had 17 games and won a couple off the top of my head. But it's really interesting looking at Birmingham from an outside, because it's probably the most united the fan base has ever been, or certainly not ever been, but been in the last 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, because the owners are really popular. Because although they made a terrible decision getting rid of Eustace and bringing in Rooney, they did at least move to rectify that by bringing in Tony Mowbray. They then got very unlucky that Tony's obviously been ill and not been involved for the last 2 months of the season. And I do think Mowbray's a really good manager. Again, worked with him at Blackburn briefly towards the back end of his spell there. And I do think he would have got them away from danger. Mm-hmm. Having Mark Venus as interim for 6 weeks really did cost them. And Gary Rowett's come in. And again, they improved slightly at first. I have to say, I thought Rowett would have had a bigger impact coming in than he has. I looked at the fixtures that Birmingham had got left with about 6 weeks of the season to go when Rowett was appointed as interim for the rest of the season. I did think he'd get them out of it. You saw they got some winnable home fixtures. They had an out-of-form Middlesbrough to play. They had Watford, who ended up just sacking their manager before they played them as well. Rotherham away, Huddersfield away. So games where they could target certainly 3 points. And they just haven't picked the points up, Birmingham. But it's really strange how the feel-good factor is actually back at St Andrews. They're obviously looking at they've bought some land to build a new stadium. They're hoping to get into that by 2030. So off the pitch, Birmingham is actually probably in the best health it's been for 10 years. And yet on the pitch, they are very much staring League One in the face if they don't get their act together in these last couple of games. They've got Norwich at home on the final day of the season, which could be another case of Norwich already being in the playoffs, resting players. So it's not the worst fixture to have on final day at home compared to Huddersfield obviously going away at Ipswich, because even if Ipswich are up, which obviously they won't be at the minute, it will go to final day them and Leeds, then that's still an incredibly tricky game away from home. It's really interesting with Birmingham, because there's not as much unrest as there has been with Huddersfield, for example, where the owners have come in but although they've made bad decisions, just as Birmingham have. There's also been a lot of good stuff that Birmingham have done, which they weren't getting from the previous owners. And so that's united them. So it's a very strange situation, really.
Mm. And I suppose I'll ask you about kind of Huddersfield, because we, on the previous show last week, we did a poll asking whether we think Huddersfield deserved to get relegated. It caused a little bit of a stir, actually. I suppose it's all subjective, but I don't know. What do you think? I know we're talking about a big game and it's still, you know, Huddersfield still could do something here, but you know, based on what they've done this season, from the outside view, do you think they kind of deserve to be relegated where they are currently?
I didn't put them to go down this season, but that was because of Neil Warnock, I have to say, more so than the squad itself. I had them in the bottom four. Me and George both had them bottom four. George had them just going down, and I had them just staying up. So we were both teetering on the edge, and that was, in my mind, very influenced by the Warnock effect as well. I do think it's a bottom four, bottom five squad. So I don't think they can have any complaints, is probably what I would say. And ultimately, whilst you have controversial moments and you might not get rubbered the green and you might have injuries, I think over the course of a 46-game season, if you get relegated, 90% of the time you probably can't argue with and deserve to go down. And let's be fair, this has been coming for Huddersfield. They should have gone down last season had it not been for Warnock. So even if you, I suppose if you're arguing they don't deserve to go down last season, they definitely did deserve to go down last season. They were a bottom three side for 70%, 80% of last season that deserved to be relegated. They were a really poor team and Warnock saved them at the end. So even if that's your argument, it probably would level out anyway. And I think over the course of a 46-game season, although the points threshold has been a lot higher this season, I still think that they were always going to be struggling and they're always going to be there and thereabouts. So it's not a massive shock to me that Huddersfield are in the position they are.
No, it's not for me either. I could kind of agree. I think people would make, like, you'll find out on the final day, which is fair. But I think, you know, looking at stuff now, it does look quite bleak if you're a Huddersfield fan. But I tell you what, we'll get some nice positive memories in before we talk about all the grim stuff, because it's time for Kwan's question.
A few things change, but also a lot of things are still the same.
Okay, so I always thought that jingle so weird. So we asked, obviously it's the last home game of the season, so we wanted to know your favourite memories from last home game. So I'll read out the listener responses and then I'll tell you mine, and I will also ask Elliot for his. So Andrew Harris, he says, the Cardiff supporters when they turned up in banana suits. Yeah, love a bit of fancy dress on the last day. Got to go for it. East Bay Terrier, Birmingham at home in 2001, right laugh. No idea. Take your word for it. I remember this one, though. Guy Bradley, Barnsley 2013, classic. Obviously, 10 minutes to go, both teams needing a draw, and our keeper stood with a ball at his feet with no one even thinking about challenging him, while both sets of fans chatting, Yorkshire. That was great. And Peterborough, obviously, have got over that by now. But that was a classic. But yeah, that's the one I'd probably go for. The one I do like, though, just because I think it kind of, I always like it when, like, elite football, like, you kind of see the stuff you'd see at, like, Sunday League, or it just kind of, the sheen goes off. And it was the second season of the Premier League. So, obviously, we're relegated. We play Man U last game of the season, and losing 1-0. And then Jonas Lossel just boots the ball downfield. Isaac Mbenza's through on goal, scores. So, we're drawn against United. Not that that's much of a... much of a plaudit nowadays, but just Isaac Mbenza has barely scored all season, runs, kicks the corner flag, smashes it to smithereens, and it took like 8 minutes for him to fix it. And it's just, I don't know, it just wonderfully Tim Pot kind of summed it all up for me, like, that season. But yeah, that was mine. I don't know, just made me laugh. But Elliot, I'm sure you've got some covering Rovers and you know, the Championship in general. What's one of your favourites?
That Isaac Mbenza very feels like out of the copybook of Anthony Cupping the Coventry City fans at the weekend, doesn't it? That I completely forgot about that Barnsley game as well. I remember that now. That was hilarious. I very much enjoyed that with the goalkeeper. They were just complete standoff of, we don't need to do anything. You don't need to do anything. Let's just stand here and watch the minutes pass by. That was funny. I don't think Peterborough fans will be over that yet, to be fair. In terms of covering Rovers, my first season covering them, they lost 3-0 to Bournemouth, which ended their playoff hopes, and Tony Mowbray announced he was leaving. So that wasn't great. That was more of a more controversial than anything. Last season they drew at home to Luton, which took it to the final day, and then they won 4-3 actually dramatically at Millwall, but missed out on goal difference. And then we'll see what this season brings, hopefully. A point or 3 points against Coventry at the weekend. But in terms of being a Sheffield Wednesday fan, probably 15-16, the season that Wednesday got to the playoff final under Carlos Carvajal, losing to Hull in the end 1-0. And they played Cardiff, which was the penultimate game of the season and their last home game. And it was between Wednesday and Cardiff for the playoffs, so it was quite a big game to try and get sixth spot. Wednesday thrashed them 3-0 with three goals coming in the final 15 minutes. So that was a really good game. And that season is probably my favourite season as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, because being the age I am, I was two when they got relegated. So I have not seen many good times. So those couple of seasons, and obviously when the following season when Huddersfield beat them on penalties at Hillsborough, probably the best seasons I've really seen as a Wednesday fan.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we enjoyed that, you know, on the other end too. More purely to see how fast Danny Ward, the goalkeeper, was. I'd never seen him move that quickly until after that. But, you know, won't rub it in because, as you know, Wednesday are currently above us.
So, might both be going down, so I've not got that much to jibe each other on.
Yeah. Oh, you're slightly better than us, but we're both terrible. Yeah.
Wednesday and Blackburn going down, I may need to be put on some sort of, like, suicide watch.
What a lovely time to go to a break then, shall we say. We're approaching half-time here. So if, like me, you nip down to the concourse on a match day, head to the Magic Rock Bar at the Kiln Bank End, you know, do that. But if you can't wait, don't forget you can get 10% off any online orders that you do if you head to magicrockbrewing.com. Of course, Magic Rock sponsor this episode and all our episodes throughout the season. So use our code AHTTC10. To get 10% off any orders that you do online. Coming up in the second half, we've got a cup final preview for Huddersfield Town Women. Do the Terriers have a toxic fan base? And our predictions for the big game on Saturday.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cozzy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, you're right near the pitch, great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, so early in the week, I caught up with Beth Stanfield, Huddersfield Town women's captain, for the first time since their unfortunate relegation to the fourth tier of women's football was confirmed. We talked a little bit about what that means to the team and what it means going forward. And we, on a more positive note, looked ahead to their Sheffield FA County Cup final against Doncaster Rover Bells. And here's a little bit of that conversation for you right now. And I'm joined now by Beth Stanfield, Huddersfield Town women's captain. Beth, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I wish our chat was a little bit more positive to begin with, but obviously, and unfortunately, been relegated to the fourth tier. I just wonder how you feel and how the team's feeling. I'm guessing not great, but just want to hear it from yourself.
Yeah, not great, obviously. I think the manner in which our like relegation was officially confirmed as well when we lost to Newcastle was just made it worse, because that was just, it wasn't a great performance from us, and we'd done really well the last few games before that to kind of keep the big teams to maybe like a one or two goal difference, and we were in those games. But the Newcastle one was just an anomaly, really, but it just kind of, it made it hurt more because obviously they were also at home in front of like 7,000 fans or something. So it just made the whole thing a bit worse. But we obviously gave ourselves a mountain to climb, really, like with needing a point from either Burnley, Wolves, Forest or Newcastle. And then it came down to Newcastle, that Newcastle game, and we needed at least a point to kind of have it in our hands. And so, yeah, it was obviously a difficult ask. But I think it was probably just the first half of the season that did it, really. Like, we were a bit too easy to play against, I think. And then you kind of saw the shift in, maybe not results, but definitely performances against, like, the Feds game onwards, really. We were much harder to break down. We were conceding way less goals. We just couldn't score, really, essentially. And that's kind of the story of the season. We just have really struggled in front of goal. And yeah, first half of the season, like I said, we're just a bit too easy to play against, and then left ourselves too much to do in the end. So yeah, really disappointed personally, and I'm sure everyone at the club feels the same. But yeah, just probably the lowest low in my like football career, I think. So yeah, it's been a hard season. So yeah, it's not been great, but yeah.
I'm really sorry to hear. I mean, you know, maybe to make you feel better, you know, for those who listen and don't know, obviously some of the teams you compete in are kind of heavily backed. Newcastle, you touched on there, they've been really backed since the new owners have come in for the men's team, haven't they? Is that kind of, I know there's not one reason, but is that kind of, there is a massive disparity in the league, isn't there? So in some ways you are kind of up against it in compared to other teams, aren't you?
Yeah, like Newcastle are full-time professional and they've pretty much got a championship like ready squad. They are very good. And yeah, since the new owners come in, they've backed them. But yeah, it definitely contributes to it. Because if you think 2-3 years ago, we were top of this league and Newcastle were in tier four. And if you look at the team that's been backed and the team that hasn't, you know, we've swapped places basically. So it definitely does contribute to it. And you can look at the top half of the table and pretty much all those teams are backed by their like main club, either like full-time or semi-pro or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, so it definitely is a contributing factor, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously we've touched on that. I mean, for those who don't know, and I appreciate, you know, you might not know the ins and outs, and I'm putting on the spot here, but what does kind of relegation mean for Town, you know, being in the fourth tier?
Well, it's just probably going to be a big rebuild, I guess. I'm sure some people will move on, and some will stay, and we're just going to have to try and get ourselves back up to tier three as soon as we can. I was saying earlier, like, I don't know our history of where we've been in the leagues, but obviously, like I said, a few seasons ago, we were top of the league, competing for the top place in this league. So obviously it's a big blow. But hopefully, yeah, we can just kind of rebuild and get back to enjoying football, to winning matches, hopefully. And yeah, just the aim will be to try and get promoted, of course. But it will be tough. It's a tough league. Like, there are some good teams in tier four. So, yeah, but that's the aim, I guess.
Yeah, and I promise, last question about relegation. We'll talk about more positive things coming up, but obviously, there's no one reason for relegation. Listeners will know with the men's team this season, although not confirmed yet. It's not looking great.
Yeah.
What you talked on maybe like struggling to score. You know, there's no, like I said, one reason, but why do you think this season's been so difficult in particular?
Probably like player turnover as well. Like the amount of players we've lost who've gone to other teams that maybe have the resource to pay them more or offer them more stuff than us. Like we've pretty much played the majority of the season without a striker, like a proper number nine. We've had like wingers playing up front, midfielders playing up front, even had Scarlett, who's a centre back, playing up front the last few games. So we have really struggled with just having someone who is a goal scorer in the team. And then obviously because people are playing out of position, that leaves other positions empty and other people have had to play out of position. So it's been, I think that has led to it as well. And we've got quite a small squad anyway, and we've just had like, I've never known a season like it, like the amount of injuries that we've had and people just not available for whatever reason. Like I don't think we've had like a full squad since probably maybe the first game of the season. Like it just felt like every week we've been kind of scraping the barrel or asking people to play in positions they're not used to. So I think all of that has obviously affected it as well. But yeah, just not having someone to score, like just an out-and-out striker who knows where the net is sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. And obviously we know, you've kind of told us before, that player turnover, it does happen a lot more frequently at this level. Like you say, with, I think, listens, and I know we had Laurie Alford on a few seasons ago. She's gone to Burnley, hasn't she? For she's getting paid to play now, isn't she? So and you're in the same division. So like you say, it's a real adjustment.
Yeah, and obviously Alford's been banging them in for Burnley recently as well, and they've got such depth. I think is something else, like I mentioned, that we struggled with, is just having the depth to, if someone's away, being able to replace them with like a like for like or someone who's got experience, because we've had a lot of young players with us this season as well that have joined on, like on loan from other clubs, and it'll be their like first taste of women's football. So yeah, a lot of things I guess have contributed to it, but yeah.
Okay, well, it sounds like I'm doing my best to bum you out here, Beth. So let's talk about something positive. You guys are in action this weekend in a cup final. You are playing a team in the division below, Doncaster Rover Bells. Obviously, they're a team historically that you know, in women's football that people will have heard of. How are you guys feeling and heading into this one? I imagine you want to end the season on a high.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, the last couple of results, well, last few results haven't gone our way, but it is that sense of let's try and finish on a high. Like, it's our trophy to defend as well, so we obviously want to try and get the win again. It's going to be a tough match though. Like last season, we won 1-0, but it was a really close game, and yeah, expect the same really. But yeah, we're obviously going to give it our all to try and win that match, and yeah, like you say, end the season on a high and have something to kind of look back on as a positive from the season.
Yeah, and you talked about retaining the trophy. Even what would that kind of mean to you and the team, given all the difficulties you've had this season?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's like the one positive thing that we can kind of hope for, I guess. So, and I think the way the season's gone, if anything, we're going to be extra motivated to win it. And yeah, like have something to look back on, like I said. So yeah, we'll obviously give it our all and try and win. But yeah, it's going to be a tough match, as it was last year.
Yeah, finals are always cagey. But I suppose the good news is it's this Sunday. It's at 3 o'clock. It's at Hillsborough, and there's tickets still available. We'll kind of tweak that out in the podcast episode. Have you played at Hillsborough before? The opportunity to play at a well known stadium, that must be exciting too.
Yeah, no, I've never played there. I watched Preston there a few seasons ago and we lost 4-0, I think. So hopefully I'll have better luck playing. But yeah, it's always nice to kind of play at a big ground and have it be made like a big occasion. So it's obviously going to be a lovely pitch. So hopefully that'll help us out as well, because we like to play. So and it's been quite difficult on our home pitch to play nice football. So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to get on the ball a lot more and try and just enjoy it as much as we can. But yeah, it's going to be exciting, another stadium to kind of tick off. So yeah, looking forward to it.
No, definitely it should be really good, and obviously best of luck for the final. Before I let you go, Beth, obviously you may have seen there's been a bit more discussion online about the men's and women's team and the support. And since relegation, it has been confirmed for yourselves and possibly for the men's team too. Just wanted to check, you know, have you seen anything personally in terms of progress since we last spoke, or is there any kind of news you can share? I'm conscious, I don't want to get into trouble either.
I mean, not really. I know that there's a meeting between the clubs today, this afternoon. So hopefully some good will come out of it. So yeah, that's all. I don't know anything yet, but obviously it's difficult with our relegation, then obviously the position that Town Men are in as well. So that might come into it, I don't know. But hopefully the discussions are positive and we see something happen over the summer. Because I think, especially because we've been relegated into Tier 4, we don't want less, or you know, stuff to be taken away from us, because ultimately our aim is to get back up. So if anything, we're probably going to need more support in order to get players in to kind of make sure that we're at the top levels to try and win the league next season. But yeah, we'll just have to see what the outcome of the meeting is. Hopefully it's a positive discussion. So yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And Beth, before we let you go, obviously we'll check in with you after the cup final too. Is there anything you want to say to Town fans? You know, obviously tickets are still available for Sunday.
Yeah, if you can get there, that would be great to see you support. I know Donny Bells are always well supported, so hopefully we can have a few Town fans in there with us. And just thanks for your support this season as well. Obviously, it's not been a great one for us, but we do appreciate the support that we get. So, yeah.
No worries. Well, Beth, best of luck to you and the team on Sunday. And like you said, we'll check in afterwards and hopefully you can end the season on a high. And let's be honest, this is the only chance of silverware we're going to see from any Town team, so no pressure.
Yes, we'll try our best.
Okay, so thanks to Beth for that. If you are supporting, if you want to support Town women, it's 3 o'clock kickoff this Sunday at Hillsborough. So 10 quid a ticket. So get down there, support the team, and we could see a little bit of silverware, which is very rare for a Huddersfield Town team nowadays. Okay, so ahead of the previous show, we did a little poll. It was an interesting one, given some of the words that we've seen online. And it was, do Huddersfield Town have a toxic fan base? We also asked if you could explain your reasoning, and we'll read some of them out. So I'll read the results, and I will read some comments, and then we'll get into it, Elliot. So do we have a toxic fan base? 52%. Of people who voted said yes. No was 37.9%, and we had an option, it depends, for 10%. So Nick Barlow, he says no. I'd say we're usually quite accommodating, but there is not one fan base in football that wouldn't be pissed off at what we've seen this season, brackets, and the history of chronic mismanagement. That performance Saturday was disgusting and is quite rightly being called out. On the flip side, Karen says, I said yes. I am all for fans' freedom to complain about the lack of effort, poor technical ability and laziness on the pitch and lack of leadership and strategy off the pitch. But when it becomes abusive, personal attacks, then it crosses the line and is uncomfortable to read, in my opinion. Smilewile says, I would say not. If anything, we tend to accept and be happy with the cycle of being a below average club. We've become accustomed to different men in suits pretending to have a plan and feeding us lies. We've had enough. Say what you feel, guys. Joe Morgan finally says, a vocal few take it to another level, but the majority are just upset where we find ourselves today. Thinking we're toxic is way over the top and quite frankly insulting to Town fans. I'd be more worried if Town fans didn't respond to the performance to go with the shocking season. So it's a bit of a divisive one. I think it's hard to kind of get a feel for it when you're in the fan base. Elliot, probably going to put you on the spot here, not in a kind of, oh, let's clip it and get you in trouble. But obviously you cover the Championship. Just kind of wondered what you think about the whole toxic fan base and whether you do think Huddersfield is particularly, a bad offender.
Just to be clear, I'm perfectly capable of getting myself in trouble. Thank you very much. So I'll stick to that.
Sorry.
I think every fan base has got a pocket of supporters that are usually well known to the rest of the supporters for being doom and gloom, for being overly divisive, and for being toxic, for want of a better word. That said, like, football is about entertainment. It's about joy. It's about memories. And when you've had a crap season, which Huddersfield have for the last two seasons, albeit ended above the dotted line last season, and the odds are stacked that it'll end below the dotted line this season, you're going to be a bit upset about it. You're going to be frustrated. So it's hard, unless you're in the actual fan base, to know whether it's a particularly they're particularly bad offenders. But I kind of just think doing the job that I do. So obviously I've covered Grimsby, I've covered Blackburn, I'm a Wednesday fan, I cover the Championship via the podcast. I think every fan base is very similar, where they've all got these pockets. So my gut feeling would be no, not really. It's very similar, I find, for every fan. I find every fan base probably thinks that their fans are worse than others. And the reality is, I think most are quite similar, really, that you'll get two ends of a spectrum, and probably the happy medium is somewhere in between. And as we all know with social media, it's often the ones that moan and complain and can be overly divisive. They're usually the ones that shout the loudest on Twitter in particular.
Yeah, very well said. That's not clippable at all. That's very sensible, Elliot. Curse you. I completely agree. I think it's, like you say, those who shout the loudest kind of get to the front, because, speaking, I can't speak for every Town fan, but, I was really frustrated obviously how we lost at the weekend, but I just didn't take to Twitter to voice it. I was just like, oh, just going to leave it, kind of moan about it. And but like you said, there's some people who don't want to do that. And like you say, football's entertainment. It's entirely up to them. I think it's hard because obviously I don't keep up to date with other fan bases. But like you said, I think it's just there are some people that cross the line. I think we've certainly seen that this season. Also, the chairman getting involved with some of the stuff recently, which is interesting. But
I do find his Twitter activity pretty mental, I have to say, as again someone looking from the outside.
Well, you don't think it's how a chairman should behave, a championship?
I'm gonna be honest, I don't see that many brilliantly run football clubs that are successful on the pitch where that is the model.
Fair. Personally, I quite enjoyed that our chairman's taken to Twitter to dispel rumours that a player's criticising the manager. So I think that's good time well spent. it's hard to disagree. I don't know. I think it's, to be honest, talking about Nagel, I think that's the difficulty. Something I would say is he has communicated with fans, but I think that's been a detriment because, you know, he is communicate with some of the fans who do shout the loudest and maybe, you know, for want of a better phrase, are a little bit toxic. So I think you're kind of giving them the oxygen to kind of say that as well. So I think that's a little bit difficult, but yeah, I don't think so. I also think, you know, and some of the comments really pointed it out, but if you look at the direction of travel with Huddersfield, we've essentially had one playoff season, final reaching season since we've been relegated from the Premier League, which is just a massive red herring. You know, every other season has been we're a team in the bottom four, bottom five for most of the season. So I think the frustration is, and maybe this is why it's kind of spilling a bit more with Town, is, you know, like we've been here before. I think there's a lot of frustration because it's same old. And you pointed out, Elliot, like, you know, we should have been relegated last season. Warnock absolutely saved us and we didn't deserve it, frankly. You know, judging for, like you say, 80% of the season. But I suppose the frustration is spilling out because it feels like that was an opportunity to kind of learn from that. And here we are in the same position.
No, I completely agree. That's where the frustration, when you get out of jail in the way that they did, to then there's been a lot of problems which have led to this point. The recruitment's not been... we could have all said at the end of last season they need a striker. Danny Ward, you can't rely on him to stay fit. Even if he does stay fit, he needs some help. He's only had how many seasons has Danny Ward had scoring more than 10 goals other than the Corberan year?
I think it's just
because he can't stay fit. So, and they've not addressed that concern. It wasn't until January that they obviously went out and got Radulovic, who's you're asking then someone that is raw, quite clearly, has no experience in English football to come in and really hit the ground running. They did counter that by signing David Healy, of course. But again, he's not played that much football, if you look. David Healy obviously got injured in France. And the fact that Watford were willing to let him go 6 months into his time at Vicarage Road probably, again, is a little bit of a red herring. So the recruitment, they haven't addressed the key areas that were weak in the squad last year. There's been turbulence with the managers, obviously bringing in Darren Moore. And then getting rid of him pretty quickly afterwards. And it was a very bold move to go for Brighton Ryder. I think it's very difficult to judge anyone too harshly on the job they've done. But it's a fact that he hasn't had the impact that they were hoping he was going to have, obviously, because of the staring relegation in the face. So it would be wrong to say in hindsight they should have gone for someone else. But it was a risk and it hasn't paid off. And a lot of the decisions that Kevin Nagel and the board have made since last summer after getting out of jail have been risks and haven't paid off.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And I suppose here I am talking about as if Town are going to be relegated. Obviously, we're previewing a game, but it still could take it to the final day. But following, you know, supporting Wednesday and being down there, I think I'd be really interested to get your thoughts on, oh, the team can rebuild, because I feel like, you know, I do it myself, but as fans, you're like, oh, well, maybe it's better being in League One in some senses. You can rebuild and start again. But obviously experiencing that as a fan, like, what is that like?
Yeah, well, obviously Wednesday were down there for 2 years before last season. And they were in very much a similar position where they went down and had to completely gut. They had like 12 players out of contract. They all left, like, so Westwood, Tom Lees, people have been there for years and years, Hutchinson. So they completely rebuilt, and it depends what you've got. I do think Huddersfield have got some bright sparks that they could build around. You know, can they keep Jack Radoni? Is a Championship club going to take a chance on him? Because I do think he's probably been a Championship player this season. He's definitely probably been Huddersfield's best player. So is someone going to take him off your hands, or is it too risky for them to pay the money Huddersfield might want, and then can they keep him and build around him? Ben Wiles has obviously been pretty poor since he came in, but I do think there's a good player in there. You know, it's only 18 months ago that Burnley were trying to sign him for big money, and they were at the top of the Championship. So can they get him back to some form? I don't think he's ever really recovered full fit from the problems they had in the summer. Kasumu is a good player they can build around. I think they've obviously got Bulker, who they signed permanently in January, who's been a good addition. Can they keep hold of Helik? Because Helik's been relegated once. I feel like if a player gets relegated once, like he did with Barnsley, teams take a punt to bring him back up. If they've gone down 2 years in a row, they tend to have a year in League One to prove again that they're a Championship quality player. So could they keep Helik for another year? He might score 15 goals next season in League One, given how potent he's been this year. Nichols is a decent goalkeeper, I think, to build from in League One. It's all about the attack, really, for me. Is Cromer out of contract, or have they got him on a new?
He's in contract. They kept him, signed him on after last season.
I like Cromer. I think Cromer's a player you can build around in League One. Bergzorg, I feel like, would go. Potentially Sober Thomas again. Is someone going to take a punt on him, or is he going to have a year in League One? So there is. It's all about the goals in the central striking areas, and if Brighton Wright stays, if they do go down, give him in that opportunity to build. So I always feel like, you know, going down is never a good thing. I don't really believe in that. I do think that's a bit of a myth. However, Huddersfield stayed up last year, didn't build on it, and didn't take advantage. So maybe they do have to go down before they take it seriously and make the right decision. So I don't think it's ever a disaster for a football club. I think you've got the opportunity to rebuild. Huddersfield will be one of the biggest clubs in League One. It doesn't look like it's going to be an immense League One renewal. You know, obviously Portsmouth are coming up, Derby are coming up. You're going to have Bolton in the playoffs, who will be favourites to go up, Peterborough as well. And then you've got some big clubs coming up from League Two, like Stockport, Mansfield, Wrexham. But Huddersfield, again, in terms of wages, in terms of where they've been recently, they will be one of the favourites to get promoted. So, it feels like we're condemning them to relegation when if they go and win at the weekend, they're right in it and stranger things have happened. But it doesn't have to be a disaster, but it all depends how they approach the summer. And I do think there are some good players for League One level, top-end League One players that they could build around.
Yeah, and in some ways, I mean, like you say, it's not done yet. But I think even if Huddersfield do stay up, I think a rebuild needs to happen, regardless of what division they're in.
Easier to do that in the Championship than League One, though.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. Well, probably not. I mean, yeah, I'm going to get into trouble for saying this, but I suppose even if Town do stay up, I've not really seen anything to suggest that they'll make a better fist of it next season if they were in the Championship.
No, and that is absolutely true.
Yeah. Anyway, nice cheery for you there, listeners. Let's come back to this game, Emmett, because, yeah, under Rowett, I suppose, like you say, maybe Rowett's not had the impact they want, but they've been a little bit more solid than when they had the caretaker spell, like you say, with Mowbray. It's been a bit unfortunate. But how do you think Town can hurt this Birmingham team? Because we've seen Town have collapsed recently in games, which isn't good, but... they've also had some matches where they've given a good account of themselves. They do feel like a real Jekyll and Hyde side at the moment.
Feels quite clear to me that Huddersfield need to get the first goal in games. Like, you know, you look at the performances where they've been, where they've looked like they're going to get something. Bristol City obviously immediately springs to mind. Getting the first goal, I think, is really important for this Huddersfield side because I think it gives them confidence. I do think that they can defending a shape and a structure if they can get themselves ahead. And they were very unfortunate not to win Ashton Gate, obviously. And there has been moments under Brighton right away. You've definitely seen what he's trying to do. And I do think they've got players where they can defend a lead, but they've got to get in front first. I think the longer the game goes on at 0-0, the more it would suit Birmingham's players when you think they've got Stansfield, Mayoshi, Dembele potentially all on the counter-attack, all in transition, trying to get that goal for them. So it will be interesting. Is it better? I don't think it's particularly better or worse that it's must win for both teams. It will obviously give more space on the counter-attack, potentially for Bergzorg, Caroma, Thomas, whoever plays in those forward areas. because Birmingham are going to need to go and get the win. You know, a point would be pretty disastrous for Birmingham as well, to be honest. If you said to Birmingham before last weekend, you're going to get 2 points from Rotherham and Huddersfield away, and Wednesday are going to go and win at Ewood Park, that's pretty disastrous for them. So they've got to win as much as Huddersfield, which could open the door up for both teams to potentially hurt the other on the counter-attack.
And again, appreciate, you know, it's not like you watch Birmingham every week, but are they likely, like you say, are they likely to come out? Or, you know, I know Rowett, kind of the cliches around him is it's quite solid, and, you know, but given the high stakes of this game, do you think they're likely to come out and kind of?
I think so. They played Coventry at home, not last weekend, the weekend before, and absolutely blitzed them and beat them 3-0 in a game that they had to get positive, they had to get some points from. So when the pressure's really been on, they've done all right. They've been really Jekyll and Hyde, to be honest, Birmingham, which is probably not much of a surprise when they're down the bottom of the league, where they've lost some home games, very much kind of like when Huddersfield played Swansea, where it's a team that's just above you in the table but hasn't got a lot of play for, and you think they could go and win that, and they haven't, and they've been beaten at home. But then they went and blitzed. They went and blitzed Coventry when they weren't expected to. So probably in the games where little has been expected, they've done better, you know. And then in the games, you know, they played QPR not that long ago on Easter weekend and lost in the last minute 2-1. But then they went and beat Preston at home. So they've been a bit weird like that. Should have beaten Rotherham. You know, many fans would have said Rotherham away, that's got to be 3 points. They drew. The Steve Evans factor not helping with that. So generally, I'd probably say, thinking about it, in the last sort of 6 weeks, they've been better when the expectation hasn't been there. And obviously, it will be there at the weekend. So that may play into Huddersfield's favour as well. But the pressure is just as much on Huddersfield, if not slightly more so, than it is Birmingham. It's going to be a really interesting game from both teams. A point knackers them both, probably. And whoever doesn't win is probably relegated.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I suppose I'm intrigued because, you know, Millwall came to the John Smiths with a kind of, we're not going to lose this game. And I think how they approached that was, with, you know, it's easy saying that now, but I do think they deserve to lose in terms of how they you know.
They came to Ewood around the same sort of time and did exactly the same thing, where they just parked the bus. But there was enough games there that a point was a good point for them. Birmingham have got to win this game. So I'd be very shocked if Rowett went for a similar approach, especially. Mm-hmm. Not beaten Rotherham from the weekend before.
Yeah, and I suppose they've not been great away from home, so maybe this is kind of leaning into town. I'm curious, I appreciate it's not been a lot of time, but, you know, is Brighton right, has he kind of done, you know, about par? I appreciate it's a difficult situation to come in, and you essentially need to hit the ground running, but what have you kind of made of him? Because like you say, Town have really kind of yo-yo, I suppose, like been up and down, which is probably to be expected.
I think it's a really difficult time to come into a struggling team. You know, the current trajectory Huddersfield were on would be to get relegated. They probably are going to get relegated, but it feels wrong to say that's par. The optics aren't great if you say it's par and you've gone down. He's not had the immediate impact they'd hoped for. You know, when you look what Danny Rayle's done over a long period, but even short term, when he went into Sheffield Wednesday, they got that kick. What Warnock did last year, they got that kick. And it's not easy to do. Neil Harris has gone into Millwall and has done similar. He's had that immediate impact. But I would say with Millwall, they were an underperforming squad that were trying to change style of play and went back to what had them finishing eighth the previous season and missing out on the playoffs on the last day of the season. So the difference is there. I'd never want to be too harsh because he's only just come in, but how many games have Huddersfield won? A couple since he's come in?
I think it's two, yeah.
Yeah, two wins since he's come in. What's he had? 14 games, something like that. It's not an instant impact, is it? And it's not what you're wanting in a relegation battle, but you can only put a plaster over the cracks for so long. And they did that last season and didn't learn from it with Warnock. So unless they go for a Warnock hire again, or someone with a track record that's definitely going to do it, if you bring someone in that's not even managed in English football before, this is the risk you run. So it probably is par, to be honest, but it doesn't sound great when they've gone down. And certainly, I think if you only win two games out of a dozen when you come in and you get relegated, you'll always feel like you could do more, especially when John Worthington was doing such a good job. I'm not a big advocate of sticking people in for the rest of the season when you're in February, because I think that's a lot of time to give up without an identity, with a caretaker, but they were doing really well under him, and the points per game total will say that. But you have to consider all the context as well. I'm not for 1 second saying they should have left John Worthington in for the rest of the season, but it proved, I think what Worthington did was dispel a lot of rumours about what people maybe thought. It didn't make the job Darren Moore did age very well, did it, when Worthington came in and turned the results round in the way he did, and also the goals and the style of performance.
Yeah, no, I suppose, not that we're wanting to blame people, but I suppose for me, looking at the season, it does feel like sticking with Darren Moore for too long is probably the thing that's going to cost them. I mean, obviously, you know him from his time at Wednesday. Would you kind of have a similar view? Not that I want to lay the blame on one person, because I do think the ownership have to take, you know, accountability for making the decisions. But that's the kind of thing that I think is going to do Town, not necessarily Brighton, right?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm also very wary that I came on the pod not long before Darren Moore got sacked and said that it was kind of what I expected. But I think I'm quite happy to put my hands up and say I was probably a bit kind to Darren Moore and the job he was doing. And I think Worthington coming in proved that, really. I kind of saw the performances that he got out of the team, and not so much even the points return, but the level of attacking flair they showed, and that quality in the final third, which I just didn't think the squad had got. And that was more why I was more tolerant of the job Darren Moore was doing from an outside point of view. But in hindsight, he probably was underperforming and probably did get longer than he should have had, which I'm quite, you know, I came on the podcast just before he got sacked and said I thought they should stick with him and that the squad was as it was. He will argue, if you spoke to Darren Moore, he'll say, well, you're not doing any better without me now, are you? So it's interesting. But yeah, I would certainly put more of the blame at Darren Moore's door than Brighton writers, considering he did have some of the summer as well to shape the squad. But it's never one person to blame. You know, the players have got to take their share responsibility, and so do the board, certainly, for what's happened and transpired with Huddersfield this season and not kicking on from that opportunity they were given last season with that reprieve.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to agree. I suppose we can kind of get into the weeds a bit potentially after this weekend, but this is a huge game this weekend, so I think let's talk about our score predictions. How do you see this one going, Elliot?
Both teams have got to win, as we've quite bluntly said on many an occasion. I don't think Huddersfield are going to win the game. My gut feeling, you look at the precedent, to have got turned over in the way they got turned over by Swansea, it would be a real show of character for them to pull themselves out. And I just feel like the Bristol City concession late on is probably not the stuffing out of them a little bit. And then they've gone and got smacked in the face again against Swansea. I always felt Birmingham would get out of it at the start. I felt they'd get out of it for most of the season, to be honest. I felt like they'd get out of it when Gary Rowett came in. And my gut still thinks they'll get out of it, but I'm not sure who'll go down instead, because obviously I don't want Blackburn to go down. I've for a while said that Wednesday would stay up because I think Danny Rayleigh is magnificent. Plymouth are definitely a team that could go down instead of them. My gut feeling says that Birmingham will win 1-0 on the counter-attack, because I think a draw would just kill both teams. I think I don't see how either team can let it be a draw, because I think that it just kills them both. So I think I'm going to go for a 1-0 away win for Birmingham.
Yeah, I mean, they did thrash Town 4-1 earlier in the season, although I appreciate that was under Eustace. But yes, it's a difficult one. I completely agree with what you say. I think if Town are going to win this game, they have to score first, because we've seen them just crumble a lot, which is really concerning. I think when, you know, the Swansea game is obviously the most recent, but even if you're talking about the Preston game a couple of weeks ago, it's they just seem to fold, you know. So weirdly, I know it's a home game, but and again, probably a cliche, but the longer, I think this will be a very cagey game, like you say, probably a one-goal margin. I think the longer it stays 0-0, the better that is for Birmingham.
I agree.
Think we'll really see the kind of like anxiety creeping in the crowd and the murmurings and the kind of discontent. So it's really hard to call. This would be very Huddersfield. It kind of reminds me when things looked a bit grim, and we beat West Brom out of nowhere under Neil, and then, you know, beat Rotherham, which is the only time we've won back-to-back games this season. And I just think everything feels a bit flat at the moment, which is why I actually think Town, when you expect them to do stuff, they don't do it. So I could actually see them winning this one now. I think it will be very similar to the Millwall game. Obviously not in terms of how Birmingham will approach it, but I just think, I don't know, I could just see them doing it. I could see them getting, you know, just winning 1-0 somehow and taking it to the final day and, you know, in a classic Huddersfield Town way, having a heart broken that way. But yeah, I just got a feeling. I just think they're going to do it. I don't know why. Yeah, and I probably will be like the scrappiest set piece goal with like Helic or Pearson. So yeah, we'll see. But it's an interesting one. I am going to the game on Saturday, and I'm absolutely dreading it. So I just think it's going to be an absolute stinker. So be an interesting one.
But, yeah, I'm not surprised you're bricking it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I don't know. It's a straight shootout, like you say, isn't it? And even having said that, I wouldn't be surprised if it is a draw. Like, I could see it being 1-1, you know, that, and like you said, that probably knackers them both, which would be obviously good for yourself. But we'll see. I think we'll do it for there, really. Anything you want to say to the Town fans before we wrap up?
Good luck, I suppose, good ultimately. Luck. Like, no one wants to get relegated, in all seriousness. So, I don't really know what to say.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, you have there. Well done.
Nice. Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, regardless of what happens in this result, Tom has informed me he's on his travels at the moment, but he will be back to preview that Ipswich game, even if it is inconsequential, we'll see. But look, it's not over till it's over. We'll see what happens. Thanks to Elliot for coming on. Thanks to you all for tuning in. And thanks to Magic Rock for sponsoring this episode. We will be back to preview the Ipswich game, come what may. And we'll leave it there. Let's hope for a positive result, Town fans. Ta-ta for now, and up the Town.
To Town, play up. Bring the cup back to
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now by the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.